Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Can you remember an invitation that changed your life? I had some advance warning around that question this week. So I thought back on invitations that had been made to me in my lifetime that really did affect my life. I remembered in 1991, Tim Khanna invited me to come out to Peace River Bible Institute on a weekend to check it out. And, just to see what it was like, he said. I grew up with Tim, but he was a few years older than me, and he was already a student there. And so he issued this invitation to me to come and see the Bible school. And that resulted in 4 years there at the Bible school. It's where I met my future wife, well, my now wife for 30 years. I met her 30 years ago, 31 years ago, married for 29 years. I'm really good at this. It's where I met Tennille. And it's where I met my best friend, John. It's where I had my first formal training for ministry. And it all started with Tim's invitation to me. Well, I was about 3 years into that journey, and a local minister named Alan Jones, he invited me to try a ministry experiment. This was the mid-90s, and we were trying out things like we tried this coffee house style venture with rock music and moody lights and edgy dialogue. We even called it The Edge. It was the thing in the 90s. Well, that initial ministry invitation kind of ballooned, you could say, and ended up I served for 9 years at that church under Alan Jones at the Grand Prairie Church of Christ, and it was certainly the most significant ministry formational experience for me. And so thank you, Alan, for that invitation. Less dramatically, perhaps, but still very significant, and I think you understand why, was how Lucas Brandstetter, now some of you know Lucas, he invited me quite a few times, actually, to try out trail running. And I resisted him. I kept putting him off. I was super intimidated by the idea of running anywhere with anyone, but especially off the roads. And the idea of trying to keep up with other people on steep inclines had put me off for months. But anyone who knows Lucas knows he can pester. So he kept pestering me. Just come and try it, Lucas would say. Just come and try it. And so finally, I did. First day I met Scott. And you know where that got me, right? Changed my life. It's brought so much health and vitality and friendships and experiences. And I thank God for Lucas and his persistent pestering invitations. Lucas, I don't know if you're listening, buddy, but thank you. Can you think of an invitation that changed your life? Invitations have a way, don't they, of opening up new realities, unforeseen opportunities, fresh encounters. Invitations can fling open new doors and usher us into new realms, introducing us to a whole new way of being. I mean, just think, if you hadn't received that invitation, if you hadn't walked through that door, if you hadn't met that man, or started that job, or bumped into that woman, who knows where you would be? Who knows who you would be? An unimaginable future can hinge on one invitation. And in our spiritual lives, invitations can mark the difference between paths that shift us toward life and paths that drift toward despair. A simple invitation to come and see can bump us toward eternity. A simple invitation to come and see Jesus can make all the difference in the world, both now and in the world that is to come. Well, 2,000 years ago, it was a simple invitation that bumped a handful of Hebrew boys to follow Jesus. And it's simple invitations like this that are still doing that today. Well, ready or not, September is here. Are you ready? Well, we're already a week in. Sorry to tell you this. But for the month of September, we're going to explore how we can best help our friends find and follow Jesus. If Erickson Covenant Church is your home, you know this is an important rally point for us. But if you're new to ECC, you're just checking things out, we're glad you're here. But it would be good for you to know that helping people find and follow Jesus is the heart of our mission here. When we think about our kids' ministry, we want to help kids find and follow Jesus. In every aspect of what we do, we want to help people find and follow Jesus. Why? Because we really believe that Jesus is the one who makes all the difference in people's lives. And so we want to do whatever we can to make that introduction. Does that make sense? As the Erickson Covenant Church, we want to be a people who are being so spiritually formed in our relationship with Jesus that we're always helping people find and follow Jesus so that together we all flourish in Christ and fulfill his mission in the world. These five F words, sorry, formed, find, follow, flourish, and fulfill, they keep us centered as a church community. We want everything we do and everything we say to be connected to and directed by that. And we know that this find and follow part, the other more common words that are used are evangelism and discipleship, is a serious task. It's actually a non-negotiable commission that Jesus gave to all of his people. We are to help people find and follow him, each and every one of us. Now, talking about your faith, explaining the gospel story to a friend, it might seem intimidating. It might seem a bit overwhelming. It can get awkward, even when you know it shouldn't, and I get it. I know what it's like to try and bring up Jesus naturally. I also know what it's like to awkwardly jam Jesus into a conversation. I know what it's like to be a bit stuck on what to say, and sometimes say nothing at all as a result. I know what it's like to freely share Jesus because the time just seemed right. My hope is that for the next 4 weeks that we can learn how to help people more effectively, lowering some of the anxiety around this by giving you practical tools and uncovering scriptural insights. I hope this September series will help bolster your confidence and your courage to play your part in helping your friends find and follow Jesus. And if it all goes exactly right, by the end of September, you'll be more willing, more able, more active in sharing your faith in Jesus with others. And specifically, you will have invited some friends to come to Alpha. Tall order? I don't think so. You see, when we dig into the Bible, we see that helping people find and follow Jesus is actually far more simple than we first imagined. And it's more of a work of the Holy Spirit than any exertion on our part. Our role is essential. God requires our action. He demands our participation. But really, our part is relatively tiny in comparison to what the Spirit then does. And it's within all of our grasp to play the part God has for us. What's more, it's something Jesus really expects us to do and he thinks we should be focused on. So if you're willing to engage this September, maybe you won't come back till October now, I don't know. But if you're willing to engage this September, I know that over these next 4 weeks, you will be more equipped with practical insights and tools to do the essential job that Jesus gave you to do, gave us to do. Are you ready? We're going to look into John chapter 1. these opening stories. We heard the first part of it. We're going to read more of it. The opening story is about a group of Hebrew boys who first met Jesus and became his first followers. And we're going to see how it happened. We're going to see how an invitation to come and see played a crucial role in their encounter with Jesus and their life transformation that followed. And through this story, we're going to help, it'll help us, I think, see how we can help other people encounter Jesus too through a come and see invitation. Let's pray. Jesus, help us now as we read your word, as we discuss this and look into how this come and see invitation can make all the difference. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's go back to John chapter 1 again. I invite you to open a Bible. There's Bibles around in your seats. There's one on your phone, I bet. Or there could be if you download the YouVersion app. And if you're at home, feel free to pull off those Bibles off the shelves or open up a second browser. We're going to start in John chapter 1, verse 35. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. So here it is. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Well, that is quite an introduction to Jesus, isn't it? What can we uncover through this story? Well, I want to highlight 7 ways that come and see invitations help people find and follow Jesus. You might want to take notes. Here's the first one. Come and see invitations extend to both curious seekers and cautious skeptics. Did you notice that? You not only have these two disciples of John the Baptist, they're prepped, and they're terribly intrigued by this Lamb of God fellow. And they start following him home. But you also have this super skeptical Nathanael dude. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Both types get a come and see invitation. And we see something important here right off the bat. Anyone who's willing to come and see gets an invitation to encounter Jesus. And any opening at all, apparently, is good enough for a come and see invitation. In the first case of the curious seekers, it's pretty obvious that they want to know more about Jesus. Why? They're following him. They're hovering. they're just kind of, you know, edging up to the conversation and standing there looking strange. And this invitation to hang out with Jesus is just what they were looking for. These guys are low-hanging fruit, right? I mean, this is the kind of eager person who quite literally asks you at work what church you go to. And you say, Erickson and Covenant. And then say, do you want to come with me sometime? This is the kind of person who asks you, does your church ever offer a course that helps people understand the basics of the Christian faith? And you say, yes, they do. It's called Alpha. Low-hanging fruit, you know, pluck. But then there's guys like Nathaniel, right? Who at first blush seem like a hard sell, a no thank you very much, he gets the invitation too. And through this, we learn something very important. We don't know what the Holy Spirit has already doing. We don't know what's happening behind the eyes, behind the scenes, behind the bluster, behind in the hiddenness that is going on in someone's life. And I think too often, there are people that we think, this person's not open. This person is not going to think this is cool at all. They're not going to hear me. I'm not going to invite them. I'm not going to go through. I'm going to decide in advance that this person has already said no to me, and then I'm not going to ask, right? And what I learned from this is that it's not my job to decide in advance for someone else. It's not my job to dismiss someone based on my surface reading of their facial expressions or the kind of books they're reading. Our job is to pray and to invite and trust the Holy Spirit to use that invitation, at least when the time is right. Which leads us to our second point. Some come and see invitations have already been issued by Jesus, and others are given by his followers. Here's what I mean. In this story, there are actual invitations given directly by Jesus himself. He invites the two boys to come and see, although they had been prompted by John. They end up spending the night. He finds Philip and he asks him directly, he says, follow me. So direct invitations are being given by Jesus as the Holy Spirit prompts people, as people are sent funny dreams or there's a stirring in their hearts or there's the Holy Spirit just working to woo them and to provoke them. This is happening around us. And sometimes when we arrive with our little invitation in hand, I have an Alpha invitation here, which I want to show you. When you arrive with our little invitation in hand, you want to come to Alpha? You know, stick it in their door and run. I don't know. You'll find Jesus has already been giving them invitations. And your invitation just adds weight to that. Because Jesus is out there inviting people to consider who he is. But we also see, as we see in this story, how Andrew went and brought his brother Simon to Jesus. How Philip went and found Nathanael. Sometimes the invitation to try out Jesus, to check out the faith, to simply engage in the conversation about life and purpose, it's the first time an explicit invitation has been given. And we never know how God might use you in that. Well, regardless of who's giving the invitation, each one is an opportunity to explore Jesus further. It's just an invitation. There's no coercion. There's no force here. The choice to follow up on the invitation, the choice to check out Jesus, that's entirely theirs. Trust the Holy Spirit's at work, and you offer the invitation. Third, come and see invitations from people who have themselves found Jesus compelling tend to be more compelling. You know what I'm saying? It's far more compelling when it comes from someone who finds Jesus compelling. When John the Baptist looks and cries out, look, the Lamb of God, which if you read the broader story, it's the second time he's done it. He already did it like before. Two of his own disciples, that's drawing them in. They take him at his word. They already trust John the Baptist. They have been following him. They're one of his disciples. They take seriously. This John the Baptist is finding Jesus compelling. And so they actually leave John the Baptist and they start trailing after Jesus. That's how they got their come and see invitation. John's bold shouting. Later, we see two different men sharing their eureka moments about Jesus. We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ, said Andrew. That's a big claim. And then with even more definition, Philip says, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. These are not passé comments, you know, lame recommendations. You could, you know, try him, maybe. It's not like that. There's excitement and urgency that just leaps off the page here. They have found Jesus very compelling. We have found the one we've all been looking for. We have found the one our hearts have been waiting for. He's the one. Come and see him. Come and see him. Clearly, whatever time they had spent with Jesus worked, right? Like, I don't know what kind of, how long that afternoon was, what they learned, what they heard, but man, was it compelling to them. They knew they had found the man that their law and prophets had foretold. That's a big deal. And he's a dude from Nazareth. Their encounter with Jesus was so compelling that their invitation to meet Jesus was also compelling. And for some of us who have followed Jesus perhaps for a while, we need to reconnect with our own story of finding Jesus, of finding faith. Like, why did you find Jesus so compelling? Have you forgotten? Why do you find Jesus compelling? Why are you following Jesus anyway? Some of us need to dig back into our own story and remind ourselves and get excited again. Remind ourselves of the urgency. Even tell the story again of our own eureka moment and let that spill over into your invitation to others. For some of you, your story of coming to faith is actually connected to the Alpha program because you actually came to faith through Alpha. Lots of people have. And you can even tell your story of coming to find Jesus, how Alpha helped you, or just frankly having discussions with other Christians helped you meet Jesus, helped you grapple with your questions, helped you come to a whole new way of seeing life. So compelling invitations issued from people who find Jesus compelling are compelling. Fourth, come and see invitations given by people who are willing to come along are even better. You see what Andrew did here in this story? We have found the Messiah, he said, and he brought him to Jesus. He didn't just give him directions. Go down here, turn right. Yes, when you see that sycamore tree, take another left, then a second left, then a third left. Yeah, and you should be right there. They didn't do that, did he? He didn't wish him well as Simon stumbled around the town trying to find this guy that Andrew told him about. He brought him to Jesus. Philip, it would seem, also came with Nathanael to meet Jesus. He didn't leave it up to chance. And this is super important. If you're willing to accompany a friend on their journey of faith discovery, your friends are going to be more willing to come and see. It's as simple as that. By setting aside your own agenda, by carving out enough time to become a fellow explorer and a faith conversation partner, your friends will find this whole faith exploration less intimidating and more accessible. Your presence can run a kind of social interference. You can break down some of the barriers. You can enable friends to grapple with what truly matters. Your presence can provide hospitality and grace to what can be a wild and woolly conversation. One of the things I love about Alpha is you never know what people are going to say around the table. One of the things I hate about Alpha is that you never know what people are going to say around the table. Well, what's more, having traveled with them through Alpha and through these faith conversations, your friendship will actually be strengthened, and you can continue to accompany them in the days ahead, especially as they choose to follow Jesus, but also even if they don't. You're able to continue walking with them. And if that wasn't enough, here's an added bonus for you. Whenever you join someone on their journey to come and see Jesus, you'll find your own faith journey revitalized. You'll remember why you found Jesus so compelling. Your own understanding and appreciation for Jesus will be deepened yet again. Your joy will increase. Your confidence will grow. There's just nothing more exciting than seeing someone find Jesus. Fifth, come and see invitations are open and engaging, not restrictive and pressuring. That first come and see invitation where the two boys who ask Jesus where he's staying, he invites them to come and see, has a leisurely, comfortable tone to it. These boys are invited to simply sit with Jesus, to ask questions, to eat together, to speak late into the night, maybe even hit the hay hosted by Jesus himself. In our journey with friends in faith, we need to issue these kinds of come and see invitations, recognizing where people are at and what time and space they might need to process who Jesus is. For some, it takes a night. It takes a meal. Bam, they're in. They get it. They're on. For others, it takes days, months, sometimes even years. But we keep walking with them. We keep inviting. We keep showing up, knowing that these come and see invitations don't operate on our timetable. We trust the Holy Spirit is at work. One of the greatest things about the Alpha evening that I love is how open it is, how engaging the discussions are. You know, guests show up at Alpha and we always eat a meal together and we sit with the same people every time so that over the course of weeks you get to know each other, you feel more comfortable, you reconnect. And after watching a really great Alpha film, which features basic topics like who is Jesus and why did Jesus die and how can I have faith and how do I pray, and it goes on from there. Each table group then has an opportunity to openly discuss their thoughts, their reflections, their reactions to the film. And guests, as I already said, are welcome to express exactly what they think or feel, regardless of their faith or lack of faith, hostility, it doesn't matter. And they aren't shut down, and they aren't ignored, and they aren't even corrected. The chief feature of the discussions is to trust the Holy Spirit is at work in the open, free flow of conversation. We try to model at Alpha what Jesus modeled there on that evening with these two disciples. Winsome, engaging conversation about faith over a meal with friends. Sixth, come and see invitations are deceptively simple. Anyone can give them. Did you notice how Philip here, when he's faced with Nathanael's harsh skepticism, he didn't even try to win him over with arguments? Did you notice that? Well, if you'll notice here in Isaiah, you'll look, he didn't do that. He doesn't try to marshal up, oh, I think Jesus said something about this at about 9:30 last night. What was it? He doesn't do that. He just says, come and see him. Just come and see him. I know, just come and see him. He didn't try to work himself into a tizzy trying to explain because he knew his job. Come and see. And this has very practical implications for us. We don't need to know all the answers about Jesus. We only need to make the introduction to Jesus. Got me? We don't need to be very far ahead of them spiritually. Maybe we just met Jesus the day before. We only need to show people the way to Jesus. We don't need to convince anyone of anything. We only need to invite. And in fact, if you're wondering how you might do this when it comes to Alpha, how you might broach the subject, how you might explain to a friend what it is exactly that Alpha is, you might even, I do suggest you do something verbal. You actually say that, but to follow up with that, you could send them a video like this.
So this is Alpha. Starts with food together. Okay. Oh, that looks good. And it's free. Nice. Okay, what we got here? Each week, a big topic. Life, meaning, Jesus. Maybe. And now, discuss. What do I think? What do you think? What do they think? Got no clue on that. And that's it.
Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't beef up our understanding of Jesus or be growing spiritually or get some more apologetic chops. So that we can actually explain our faith, we should. But here's the deal. All that being true, what's most important of all is your invitation to meet Jesus. And for anyone who's been intimidated before, unsure of what to say, or feels like they don't know what they're going to say, here's the beauty of the Alpha program. All you need to do is invite, and all the talking part, and all the explaining Jesus part, and all the making it all make sense part, that's all done for you. And done brilliantly, I might add. You can sit back and relax. You can take care of your friend. You can get them another coffee. You can play the good host and pray that the Holy Spirit does his business and do your best to be a helpful conversation partner, knowing that the heavy lifting is being done by someone else. The Alpha Films, the Holy Spirit, and the people cooking the food. Anyone can give a simple invitation. And it's a simple invitation that changes everything, which brings us full circle into our final point. 7. There will be that one come and see invitation that triggers the ultimate meet and greet with Jesus, who then changes a life. Look at the simple invitation that changed Nathaniel's life, Simon's life, Philip's life, Andrew's life, and on from there, more and more and more. On to the next, another invitation given, and then down there to her, and then over there to him, on down the line, and down through history, to the day there was a knock on your door, a ding-dong, someone showed up, someone talked to you, and offered you the invitation to come and see Jesus, and you did too. And every invitation that's given has that same goal, that people would encounter Jesus. All that matters is that people meet Jesus and Jesus will do the rest. We simply invite. We swallow our fear. We fling aside our pride and we ask people, would you be willing to come to the Alpha Course with me this fall? Can we say it together? Would you be willing to come to the Alpha Course with me this fall? We pray for that one friend. We send them an Alpha video. We give them a paper one. I don't know. We start stashing it under their windshield wiper every day. I'm not sure what you want to do. And we ask them to join us for Wednesday evenings this fall. Maybe we go for a walk and we feel dryness in our throat. But we muscle up the courage and we simply invite, knowing that if people will just come and see, Jesus will be there to engage them, to answer their questions, maybe even, like in this first story, they'll get a new name and they'll see Jesus in a new way. Our invitation facilitates that encounter, and that encounter changes lives. And why? Well, because to encounter Jesus is to then hear his deeper invitation, which is to actually stay with him, to actually be with him and let him be with us forever. You see, this invitation to come and see, as open and as hospitable and as low pressure as it is, it's not the end goal. It's just the beginning. Jesus doesn't want a few cronies just to sit around the fire with him at night and then go their separate ways the next day. No. At the end of the story, the two boys, or at the start of the story, the two boys ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And John, the Gospel of John, the writer of John, different than John the Baptist at the start of the story, a little bit confusing sometimes. John, the writer of the story, he's masterful at double meanings. So yes, it can be heard on the surface level of, where are you staying tonight? Where are you hanging out? Where are you sleeping? Where do you live? But it can also be heard within a much larger theological backdrop where God has come to dwell. God's story of incarnation, where the Word, who is Jesus, has been made flesh and is now making his dwelling among us in order to reveal God to us. But specifically, a little later in John chapter 15, when he is with his own disciples, which includes these first four or five guys, they're told by Jesus that the key to their life, the key to their flourishing, their key to fulfilling the mission he's given them is found in dwelling with Jesus. And he uses the exact same word. In John 15, we read the words, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." That word "remain" is the word "dwell." It's the word "abide." It's the same word, same Greek word, as used when they say, "Where are you staying? Where are you remaining? Where are you abiding?" Same word. Jesus goes on in that couple more verses to say, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain, abide, stay in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here at the beginning of John's gospel, they ask him, where are you staying, Jesus? Where do you abide? He invites them to come and see. But where's this whole story going? What's the goal? By the end, Jesus tells them, I'm abiding in you. And you are to abide in me. Jesus tells them that staying with him and in him and this whole I'm in you and you're in me business, that was always the point, that they're being invited to abide with him forever. Because life is only life when we're with Jesus and in Jesus and he is in us. And this whole business of helping people find and follow Jesus so that they flourish in Christ and fulfill his mission in the world, it all starts and ends right here. Being with Jesus. Letting him form us as he is in us and we are in him. So this come and see invitation to Jesus culminates, you could say, in a come and stay relationship with Jesus. What starts as a simple invitation results in complete communion. But people do need an invitation. They do need to hear you say to them, why don't you come and see? And if they do, they might just find that they never want to leave. Well, I think you all know what we need to do.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.